Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Good morning. This is Kathy, and I'll be your reader today for Tony Says, the Odessa American. This is the August 30th of 2023 edition. Tony Says asked today, what if Medicare? Questions from Tony Says readers by the guest contributor by Tony King. This week's Tony Says Medicare column consists of what if Medicare questions from Tony Says readers around the United States. What if I did not enroll in a Medicare Part D plan when I turn 65 and I'm taking an expensive medication? When can I enroll in Part D plan? Tony says when one fails to enroll in a Medicare Part D plan at the right time, then Medicare's annual enrollment from October 15th to December 7th each year is when you can enroll in a standalone Part D plan or a Medicare Advantage plan with a Part D plan. The new plan will begin January 1st with you receiving a Medicare Part D penalty for not enrolling at the proper time. For help with prescription drug planning, contact Tony Says Medicare team. The second question, what if I am on a limited income and cannot afford my Part B premium or prescription drug cost? Tony says, contact or visit the Medicaid office and see if you qualify for Medicaid's Qualified Medicare Beneficiary, initials QMB, program or specified low-income Medicare Beneficiary, SLMB, program. Call your local Social Security office or apply online for extra help if you do not qualify for Medicaid. Each year, the income qualifications change. Get proactive about your Medicare. No one can do it for you. The worst Medicaid or Social Security can say regarding qualifying for extra assistance is no. Third question. What if I did not enroll in Medicare Parts A and B when I should have because I do not want to pay that extra Part B premium each month? I do not go to the doctor, and I do not take any prescriptions. Can I enroll later? Tony says, if you are past 65 years and 90 days old, not working full-time with true company benefits, and decide to enroll in Medicare Part B, then you will have a big Medicare problem. You must wait until Medicare's general enrollment period, January 1st through March 31st of each year to enroll. You will receive the famous Medicare B Part penalty, which is a 10% increase in your Part B premium for each 12-month period that you could have had Part B. Say you wait 3 years. You will pay a 30% premium. With no Medicare Part B, you will have to pay 100% out-of-pocket for doctor care, whether office visit or surgery or any outpatient care, including MRIs, radiation, chemotherapy, x-rays, etc. Readers, please enroll in any Part B at the right time. Question 4. If I am past 65 and have retired with company benefits and need to enroll in Medicare Part B, what do I do? Tony says, when one is retiring or has been laid off past age 65, we advise Tony Says clients to have their employer sign the Request for Employment Information Social Security Form CMS-L564 and attach it to your application for employment and Medicare Part B form CMS-40B. Take both forms to your local Social Security office to enroll in Medicare Part B as quickly as possible. Once you enroll in Medicare Part B, you only have 63 days to get Medicare prescription drug coverage. Don't wait too long. Readers, if you need help, contact the Tony Says Medicare Call Center at 832-519-8664 for Medicare planning that meets your specific Medicare needs. Thank you from the Tony Says Medicare team for allowing us to help you navigate the maze of Medicare. With Medicare, it's what you don't know that will hurt you. Tony's books are available at TonySays.com with a bundle discount for Tony Says readers. And that is the end of the article for today.
The Economist by M. Ray Perryman. The Economist magazine's Big Mac Index was recently released, providing insights into the cost of the classic McDonald's burger in countries around the world. The index was started in 1986 to provide a quick look at how currencies are trending against one another. The economic concept of purchasing power parity, or PPP, indicates that exchange rates change over time to equalize the global price of an identical basket of goods and services. A single burger was chosen because it is highly standardized, irrespective of location, and is ubiquitous and simple to grasp. The most recent data indicates that the vast majority of world currencies are undervalued compared to the dollar, based on the price of a Big Mac and prevailing exchange rates. Even when adjusted for the relative wealth of countries, the dollar remains stronger than most. Although clearly the Big Mac index is merely an illustration, the dollar has been trending at a fairly strong level for a while. The index also suggests that U.S. inflation is now lower than that of most, but not all, major countries. The Federal Reserve maintains a more comprehensive index of how the dollar is performing against the currencies of the 26 most important U.S. trading partners by volume of bilateral trade. The base year is 2006, and the index generally stayed below that level for years, except for a period of time during the Great Recession. Starting in 2011, however, the relative value of the dollar began to rise. The pattern was uneven at times, with notable spikes during times of uncertainty, such as the pandemic. A peak of about 128 was reached last fall, and the index is currently around 121. In addition to the dollar's role as a safe haven, demand is boosted by high U.S. interest rates and resulting demand from foreign investors for dollar-denominated options. In addition, a large share of global business is conducted in dollars, and the U.S. dollar is the world's dominant reserve currency. While there have been headlines about this situation changing, I don't see that happening. A strong dollar is both good and bad. An overly weak currency would be a symptom of big problems such as persistent low economic growth and high inflation. It also makes imported goods more expensive. However, a strong dollar causes U.S. exports to be more costly in world markets. In addition, for U.S. firms doing business overseas, it reduces revenue as international sales are converted. Looking ahead, the dollar should remain relatively stable for the time being. The economy is resilient, and the Fed is dealing with inflation. There's also no stronger or more stable financial system anywhere, and uncertain times call for safe havens. Stay safe. Obituaries. Lenora Frizzell passed away on August the 22nd. Memorial donations in lieu of flowers can be made to the Police Athletic League of the Odessa Police Department, Interim Hospice of Lubbock, Texas, and the Building Fund at First Baptist Church of Odessa. Atlas Eugene Gene Austin passed away on August the 22nd at the age of 88. The celebration of the life of Gene Austin will be held at 1 p.m. September the 10th at Connection Christian Church, 4241 Tanglewood Lane. In lieu of flowers, please consider a donation to Hospice of Midland at thehospiceofmidland.org. And services are entrusted to Acres West Funeral Chapel, and condolences may be sent to the family online at acreswestfuneral.com. Diane Austin passed away on August the 22nd at the age of 62. Graveside service was held at 11 a.m. on August the 26th at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Daryl Bruce Benham, age 69, of Odessa, died Tuesday, August the 22nd in Odessa. Graveside service was held at 3 p.m. on August the 26th at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Donna Lee Hazard, age 62, of Odessa, died Saturday, August the 19th. Daniel Valdez Lara, age 94, of Odessa, died Thursday, August the 17th. Jesse Lee Oliver Sr., age 78, of Odessa, passed away on August the 15th. Larry R. Allen passed away on August the 21st.
Newborn Oil becomes PSP's 22nd member. The story was written by Mella McEwen, Oil Editor. Permian Strategic Partnership continues to grow, adding three new members this year. The newest company to join is Mewbourne Oil Company, which becomes PSP's 22nd member. Mewbourne's longtime history in the Permian Basin was cited as a motivation for joining the partnership. Quote, "I have been very impressed with the great work PSP is doing in the basin, and we are thrilled to be part of this important organization," Ken Waits, Mewbourne's president and chief executive officer, told the Reporter Telegram by email. Continuing the quote, "Curtis Mewbourne got his start in West Texas in 1965, almost 60 years ago, and we plan on being one of the most active drillers in West Texas and southeast New Mexico for generations to come. We are grateful to have the opportunity to invest in the people and communities that have been so critical for Mewbourne's success," end quote. He noted that over half of Mewbourne's staff call the Permian Basin home. Tracy Bentley, PSP's president and chief executive officer, noted Mewbourne's long history in welcoming the company to the partnership. Quote, "Mewbourne Oil Company has been a fixture of the Permian Basin for the past 50 years. By welcoming them as our 22nd member, we are excited to blend their rich history and community ties with the PSP's collaborative vision," she said in a statement. "Together, we will continue to advance education, healthcare, workforce development, and road safety, making lasting impacts on our communities across the region. We are honored to have Mewbourne on the PSP team," end quote. She added by email to the Reporter Telegram, quote, "Ken Waits and his team at Mewbourne will bring their passion, talent, and leadership to PSP at a critical time for the Permian Basin. As the country and the world continue to look to our region for energy security, we must continue to build and improve the necessary infrastructure to make sure our families thrive. Mewbourne shares this vision and makes them a perfect fit for the PSP," End quote. Driller, Helmrich, and Payne joined PSP the first of the year, and Champion X joined last month, continuing the expansion of PSP from the original 17 companies that combined to form PSP in early 2019. The focus is on addressing the needs of Permian Basin counties in the areas of education, healthcare, workforce training, infrastructure, and housing. PSP members are Apache, BPX Energy, Champion X, Chevron, ConocoPhillips, Coterra Energy, Devon Energy, Diamondback Energy, Endeavor Energy Resources, EOG Resources, ExxonMobil, Halliburton, Helmrich & Payne, Kinetic, Mewbourne Oil Company, Occidental, Ovintiv, Permian Resources, Pioneer Natural Resources, Plains All-American SLB, and Waterbridge Resources.
Tall City Blues Fest to take place next month by Odessa American, August 21, 2023. The best little fest in Texas is around the corner. The Tall City Blues Fest will take place on September 23rd at the Old Lumber Yard at the Destination Midland. People can purchase $20 early bird tickets before prices go up on August 21st. Tickets purchased after August 20th will be $25, and tickets at the door and online the day of the fest will be $30. Get ready for the most fun in Midland, where you can see six back-to-back concerts, grab tasty grub, shop our vendor marketplace, and browse art.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, August 19th, 2023. Religion. Pilate forced into Christ's crucifixion. Roman prefect sought to release Jesus before condemning him, by Bob Campbell. Pontius Pilate woke up one morning to meet Jesus Christ and a rabid mob demanding Jesus' crucifixion. The Roman prefect, or governor, was very discomfited, especially after getting a message from his wife that said, "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." I have always had the impression that Pilate didn't really want to kill Jesus, and that shaped the rest of his interaction, said the Reverend Josh Reef, pastor of Southside Baptist Church in Monahans. He looked for a way out, but the elders had him between a rock and a hard place. It was a political situation. With his predecessor having been deposed because of unrest, Pilate could have been executed or commanded to commit suicide if he had failed to avert another Jewish uprising, the Reverend Reef said. He had no way out because Judea had been a very volatile area, he said. He wanted to spare Jesus because he had a sense of justice that he was trying to live by. Pilate was one of the first people to declare Jesus' innate goodness, Reef said. He was a worn-out, besieged, cigarette-smoking, superstitious guy, and the world came to his doorstep one morning. He was a tragic figure caught up in a political game that wasn't his. Jesus was talking about truth, and Pilate asked, "What is truth?" While the appearance of Jesus before Pilate is described in all four Gospels, said Downtown Church of Christ minister Greg Fleming of Midland, I have long been intrigued by Paul's reminder to his associate Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:13 that Jesus in his testimony before Pilate made the good confession. In what sense did Jesus confess something good about himself before Pilate? Fleming asked. And what does the good confession made by Jesus have to do with Timothy's past good confession in the presence of many witnesses that undergirds his present good fight of the faith? Interestingly, the term here translated good is earlier in this same letter sometimes translated noble or well, he said. The good confession is not simply a good thing to say. It is a noble statement representing belief and even allegiance to something higher. Those who speak such words do well. Fleming said Jesus affirms to Pilate that he is a king in each one of the Gospels, but in John 18:36, he stresses that his kingdom is not of this world. My conclusion is that Jesus' affirmation of kingship before a Roman governor is what Paul refers to when he says that Jesus made the good confession before Pilate. He said, Paul calls Timothy to maintain a commitment to the good fight, prompting him to look back to the day in which he made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. The apostle believes Timothy's recollection of his past noble confession about King Jesus will help him maintain his present commitment in a noble struggle. Feeling displaced? Jesus is the answer. By Giancarlo Villatoro, founding pastor of Victory Church, Odessa. If you feel displaced, if you feel rejected, I want you to know that Jesus is the answer. It happens quite often that you are in places, even in your own home, even alone, when you can feel displaced and rejected. Why is that? It is because you have not fully and widely opened your heart to our Lord God. It is true, people can be mean and hurtful. They can say things that deeply destroy your soul and cut your wings. But at the end, it is up to you if you will believe those voices telling you that you are not worthy to be accepted and loved. Now is the time when you need to take a little step of faith. You need to reach out to someone that you can tell exactly how you feel. You need to talk to someone about your deepest need to be loved. Call someone. Text somebody. Allow a friend to know about your honest, broken heart. Over all things, humble yourself before the Lord God and tell Him, "Please, Lord, forgive me. I need you. I really need you to fill my whole heart with your pure and true love, because you are the only one I deeply want to please." But if you were thinking, what if they fail me? Even more, what if they fail me again? You need to understand that in that case, you will try some other church until you find the right one. You've got nothing to lose. Don't give up, my brother. Never quit, my sister. God loves you very much. You are worthy of His love.
This is the Dear Abby column. Woman cuts grandparents' access to their grandson. Dear Abby, I have had a wonderful relationship with my only grandson for 9 years. Since I retired, he visits every other weekend, which makes me so happy. He has autism and didn't speak for the first 6 years, but now he talks constantly. It's wonderful. I'm very close to my son as well. I guess you know what's coming. My daughter-in-law cut my grandchild out of my life 4 months ago. She says he was molested in my care by my husband. I took my husband of 13 years, who has never been alone with my grandson ever, to the police station. He passed all lie detector tests, and the police said they believe my husband. My grandson didn't say a word, only my daughter-in-law spoke. I had CPS come out, and they did a thorough investigation. They said, in their opinion, she was making this up. She hasn't spoken to her family in 12 years. She cuts everyone off if they upset her. My grandson needs me. What can I do? My son says if I move and live next door to them, I can see him every day. But I don't believe that would last either. I'm sure she would just come up with something else. Any ideas? Signed, Aching Heart in Texas. Dear Aching Heart, if your son is suggesting that you move next door, presumably without your husband, it is a non-starter. The person who could fix this is your son. Because the accusation your daughter-in-law made was groundless, your son should insist you have visitation with your grandson. However, if that doesn't happen, then remember Texas is a state in which grandparents do have some rights. Therefore, it may benefit you to discuss this matter with an attorney specializing in family law. Dear Abby, I have been married to the same woman for 35 years. She has been an alcoholic for the last 20. She has done 4 stints in rehab facilities. She comes out healthy for a while, then starts drinking again. She hasn't realized that she can't drink one glass of wine and stop there. It seems to get worse every time. We work together, and I have had to take all her hours away because she's not reliable. I'm holding on to our job and taking care of my aging parents. I went to my first Al-Anon meeting. It was okay, but only a few of the people in the room were male. Throwing a man out is a lot easier than throwing a woman out. I think about leaving her all the time, but there are risks to my house, our dog, and even the general public if I leave her alone. Is there any solution for someone like me? Signed, At Wit's End in California. Dear At Wit's End, talk to a family law attorney and ask what your options are. You cannot save your wife from herself or her addiction. When she picks up that glass, she has already made a choice, and it is not your marriage or your partnership. She will not become responsible for herself unless she is forced to be. By staying with her, you are enabling her. I apologize if this seems harsh, but it is the truth. Dear Abby is written by Abigail Van Buren, also known as Jean Phillips, and was founded by her mother, Pauline Phillips. Contact Dear Abby at www.dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.